yes, there can be reasons why the technology is so good and productive, mm-hmm. but at the same time, those constant needs for hits of dopamine can also be super toxic and lead to self-soothing that really isn't making a difference for us in a positive way.
Hello there. My name is Monica Burns, and welcome to today's episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast. It is 2024, and whether you're joining for the first time, 100th time, or for the 200th time, I am so glad you're here. I have lots of exciting things in store for you this year. Each episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast is designed to give you ideas you can try yourself, share with a colleague, or bookmark for later in the school year. Get ready for stories from my time in the classroom, the work I do now with schools and districts, and my travels to different EdTech events, as well as practical ideas and inspiring stories from new guests each month. If we mention something you'd like to check out, you'll find the link to it in the show notes. So don't forget to head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast, for all of the show notes and resources from today's episode. This episode is brought to you by Activate, which is on a mission to reintroduce play in education at every level. Activate starts with a kit, literally a box, that has games, activities, brain teasers, and more that help kids engage with each other without being tied to the screen. And there's great news for teachers. Activate also comes with Play, an AI-powered app just for them that instantly curates activities in context. Have 13 kids, 10 minutes, 2 cans, and a piece of paper, and maybe a student in a wheelchair? Well, Play will instantly give you an activity for exactly that scenario. For any and every scenario, check it out at unboxactivate.com. That's unbox, UNBOX, activate, ACTIV, and the number 8.com. This week's episode is titled, How to Create Calm in Your Classroom, and I chat with fellow ASCD author Meredith McNeary. She has a new book out this month called Cultivating a Classroom of Calm, How to Promote Student Engagement and Self-Regulation, and I asked her to come on and chat about how to create calm in a world of constant notifications. She shared tips for micro self-care, ways to identify when we and students might be self-soothing with technology, and tips you can bring back to your classroom. Let's dive into this conversation. Welcome to the podcast, Meredith. I am so excited to chat with you about all things creating calm and making sure that we're having a nice, calm school year. But before we jump into all of that, would love for you to share with listeners a bit about your role in education. What does your day-to-day look like?
Yeah, well, thank you so much, Monica, for having me. I'm super excited about this conversation. And most of my career was spent in a schoolhouse of some sort, whether it was as a classroom teacher. I did work in our curriculum office for a while, but most recently served as a school principal and was in the role of administrator for a long time. But my day-to-day now is different. I work directly with schools on education consulting topics, specifically around trauma-informed care and healing and cultivating calmer schools.
Well, today we're talking about how to create a calm in a world of constant notifications. And your new book is titled Cultivating a Classroom of Calm. What led you to write a book on this topic?
Yes. So I'm very passionate about the topic because I feel like calm is something we all want more of, and we want to experience calm, and we love the feeling of being calm. But I think at the end of the day, I realized in my journey, especially as a Title I principal, never feeling like I had the opportunity for calm to come easily, is that calm is practice. And it really is something that we have to practice for ourselves. And so I wanted to write a book that would hopefully give people practical strategies and things that they could apply in their classroom immediately. Because I think, you know, many of us will agree that we've been experiencing heightened stress and overwhelm. And so if I could provide a way to help people think about cultivating more calm in their classrooms, I was going to do it. So I'm super excited for the book to come out and just grateful for the opportunity to share some of my experiences.
Well, it's definitely an important topic, one that's front of mind and in a lot of my conversations with educators. And, you know, we know that creating calm in a world of constant notifications is certainly a challenge. So can you paint a picture of how those always on notifications affect attention and well-being, particularly for students?
Yeah, I mean, I think when we talk about practicing calm, it really is understanding what happens in the brain when we are constantly on. And many of us, myself included, are using our phones at a rate that really pulls our attention in multiple directions. So we get really unfocused, or we have a hard time, you know, remaining on task with something. We can start to experience stress or anxiety or overwhelm because we're on our phone so much. And a lot of that has to do with the times that we pick up our phone to self-soothe can be really dangerous. So for many of us, we need our phones, and I am a big fan of my phone, and I love all of the technology that's out there. I find it all very exciting, but I feel like we have to understand that we are affected, especially by the phones, that constant notification and turning on. And so I think one of the things that we can think about in our own classrooms is, how do we get back to more connection? Mm-hmm. And we all need that face-to-face connection. We need the time with each other, that human-to-human connection. And when we start to pick up the phone to self-soothe, maybe being aware of it and realizing, like, hey, I'm doing this sort of to zone out. I'm not really doing it to be productive. And turning that on in our brains to help us make a different choice and say, hey, you know, instead, I'm going to seek human connection, because ultimately that's what's better for my brain and my learning. But I love the question. I think it does do a lot to our brains in terms of, yes, there can be reasons why the technology is so good and productive, mm-hmm. but at the same time, those constant needs for hits of dopamine can also be super toxic and lead to self-soothing that really isn't making a difference for us in a positive way.
And I would imagine for listeners, whether they've used that terminology, right, of the dopamine hit from why did my phone just light up to the mm-hmm. self-soothing, I'm not sure what to do, but I'm just going to open up this, you know, my email, I'm going to open up Instagram, mm-hmm. you name it, right? And whether they're using that terminology, I'm sure that they can see that in their own everyday experiences. I'm mm-hmm. sure, I know I sure can, right, of the way we interact with digital devices. So, you know, how can digital mindfulness strategies, which are tough enough for us, right, as adults, as educators moving through the world, be taught to students to empower them to make healthier choices when they're using technology?
Yeah, I mean, one specific thing that we teach in some of our workshops is the awe method. One of my colleagues that I work with, she did some research around the word awe. So mm-hmm. when you look at a picture on your phone and it gives you that feeling of like, oh, you know, I feel really good when I see that, that's teaching students to be aware of that feeling and saying like, oh, this picture really elicits a feeling of awe, and awe is so healthy for us because it brings us back to human connection. Mm-hmm. And then we teach the consequence or the follow-up to that is when we're looking at something and it's not giving us that positive feeling, it's making us maybe feeling FOMO because we see something that someone else is doing, or it's making us feel really anxious. I know sometimes if I'm looking at things and I'm not being really mindful, I start to then think of all the things I'm not doing, you know, well enough, right? Like somebody mm-hmm. else is doing whatever it is that I do, they're doing it better. And so that's anxiety producing for me oftentimes. So I think just teaching kids and adults, I mean, mm-hmm. I think this is really for all of us,
yeah.
right? Like to distinguish the emotion that we feel when we look at whether it's an image or a video or we interact with technology, being really aware. I don't know if you've heard the term meta moment, where you uh-huh. start to notice your body and what reaction I'm having, but it is that It's taking that meta moment and distinguishing between those feelings of awe and those feelings that are of awful anxiety driven feelings.
And just naming that, you know, and as you were saying that, Meredith, I was thinking I have the Tiny Beans app on my phone and my sister posts a new picture of my niece every day. And it's not that we don't FaceTime and we do all the stuff and, you know, she lives not very far from me. So I see them all the time, but that like awe moment is like the actual sound, right? That comes out of my voice when like a new picture pops up. And just to be able to name that and say, like, this is not how I feel all the time when I'm on social media, right? Or this is not all the time when we're in these different spaces. So I love just being able to model that, to communicate that to colleagues, of course, but then to students as well. And, you know, your book is about the classroom. It's right there in the title. But these issues reach home, of course. So, you know, what are some conversations parents could have with their kids about how they interact with their devices and notifications? Like, do you have suggestions for teachers who might be asked questions like that from family members of their students?
I love that because I think so much of it happens first in the home, and students who have conversations with their families at home or their caregivers at home are going to bring those lessons into their classroom setting. So I think it's also important for teachers to have these conversations as well. But speaking in particular about parents, I'm a mom of two girls who are now in college, but certainly raising them through their teen years and knowing the importance of giving them a phone. They definitely benefited in many ways socially from having a phone, but also, oh my gosh, the number of times that they were engaged in hurt feelings or anxiety producing feelings. And so I think a lot of it starts with conversation. Like anything else, if we're going to practice calm, we have to learn our own triggers. And so I would talk to my daughters a lot about the triggers that they were feeling regarding whatever form of social media or using their phone maybe were occurring. And I think that open dialogue made it feel safe for them to come to me. I'm not saying that they always did, you know, I'm sure, Monica, there were things that were going on, you know, behind the scenes that I never knew about. But for the most part, I think they did a good job of coming to me because it was something we decided as a family, we weren't going to shame them for wanting to use their phone. Instead, we were going to talk to them about healthy behavior and, you know, really even looking at how much screen time they've had and setting those limits and things like that. And I think that really is something that's so important for us as the adults. So even saying to my own girls, I've told them this a million times, oh my gosh, I have seen such a connection between my mood and my screen time. Mm-hmm. And talking to them about my own experience, like I was in the worst mood last night and I just could not put my finger on it. You know, I couldn't really kind of assess where my triggers were coming from. And when I looked at my screen time, I could not believe how much time I engaged in mostly work activities, but probably some self-soothing in between. And I think that is the key to it. It's just that open dialogue and being willing to be a model to your own children.
Yeah. And just that idea of modeling, right? Having those conversations is so important. And I love that as a piece of advice that a teacher could take to, I know as a classroom teacher, I was asked by families, right? About what do we do with all of this technology, right? What's out there and what, you know, recommendations do you have? And so, you know, speaking of recommendations, you know, I know, cause you and I have talked even before we hit record a bit about the AI of it all, right? Of all the different types of technology out in the world, right? You know, is there a place for the positive use of technology? Maybe it's a guided meditation app or nature sounds apps, you know, within your vision of cultivating a calmer learning environment.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is so important because it kind of goes back to when we are having conversations with parents and caregivers and learning not to shame children for wanting to use their phones or even for us to feel ashamed of our love of our phones, you know, but learning the positive ways to experience the phone. And I am a big fan of technology. I've been reading and studying AI probably a little bit every day. I'm trying to learn more and more. Mm-hmm. I just get so excited about what's out there. But I think to your point is what can we use the phone for positively? And I do agree that I think some of those apps that help us to reset or breathe are really, really helpful. I know I use a guided meditation app. I love Peloton. I don't know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was like, I don't know, you know, your rules for promoting things. I'm not promoting it necessarily, but just saying one of the big benefits of being a member is they have a great series of guided meditation. Mm-hmm. I love that. And then of course, all of the Calm apps that are sometimes free for teachers or the YouTube videos that are out there. I think the other big tip I would give is to think about micro self-care instead of always macro, right? So macro would be, you know, I'm eating healthy and I'm exercising and I take some vacations, and that's great. We should do that stuff.
Yeah.
Not always possible. So are there things that we can do for maybe 1 to 2 minutes to regulate our emotions? So whether it's a squishy ball, and, you know, we've heard about fidgets for years, but even for us as adults, taking 5 minutes to doodle, making it a safe place for us to be able to have some kind of, you know, squishy sponge that we hold and we touch and we feel, and normalizing the need to regulate, even sometimes off the phone, can be a great micro strategy. And then, of course, you and I know there are various apps out there to help us detox a little bit, monitor our time on the phone and those kinds of things, which I think are also good forms of micro self-care.
And that micro self-care, I think, just makes it feel so much more doable for someone who's like, you know what? I would love to go to a 75-minute yoga class, but I can't do that today, right? Like, if I can find a 4-minute cool down on, you know, yoga thing on YouTube, right? That's great. And it's funny, Meredith, you mentioned the Peloton one. I took a class at the New York studio with Ross Rayburn like a year and a half ago. And he's one of the ones that does the meditation stuff. And he couldn't have been any sweeter, but it was so funny to meet him in real life, because I've listened to so many of his like meditative stuff and the yoga stuff on Peloton too. But it's just funny to think about, right? There's just so many great resources out there. Lots of them are free, right? For those micro moments. So that's awesome. I love that terminology for someone who's maybe even listening to this on the go, right? Or at the gym or on the move. So, you know, are there some small impactful starting points for creating moments of calm within the school day? So
yes,
if someone's listening now, they can't control the barrage of notifications outside of the class, like that's just happening. What's something small and impactful they can do to help move the needle here?
Yeah. So this sort of reminded me of a chapter in the book that's on engagement. Mm-hmm. And specifically, I'll talk about the different elements of engagement, that engagement isn't just cognitive engagement. So we want it to be, because we have information to share and we want to get it from their brain to, or from our brain to their brain, but learning doesn't occur that way. We really want to set up with at various aspects of engagement. So I talk a lot about social engagement and emotional engagement, behavioral engagement, so on. So as you were asking me the question, it reminded me of how I'll talk about the first 5 minutes and the last 5 minutes pretty in depth in that chapter, because it's so necessary to hook and hold students throughout the lesson. And I think if we're going to be responsible in our use of technology, perhaps during the lesson, then it's really important that we're mindful in how we set up calm at the start of the lesson.
Yeah.
And so the first 5 minutes might look like greeting students at the door and starting with a 2-minute mindful moment just to reset. You know, depending on the age group of the students, they might be transitioning up to 7 times a day. So coming in your classroom and having really calm music playing, inviting them to breathe with you, and making sure that you're taking a couple of minutes to settle the room and elicit calm before you get started can be a huge win. And I also think hooking them in the first 5 minutes with powerful strategies to get them excited about the learning helps a lot too.
And that just that combination of setting the tone, right? Those first few minutes are gonna have a massive impact, right? For the rest of that class period, the rest of the section of the day, right? no matter what it might be. So this is such a helpful set of tips and strategies. And I want to make sure, Meredith, everyone knows where to go to connect with you, to learn more about the book, to learn more about your work. I'll link out to lots of things, but for someone who's on the go as they're listening in, where can they connect with you? Where can they learn more about your work?
Yeah, so our website is calmerschools.com. So that's Calmer Schools. And we offer in-person and virtual training. We also have a great partnership with a university that allows us to teach courses online. So all of our courses are on-demand, asynchronous, and self-paced so that teachers can earn their credits for recertification. So I know here in Maryland, our teachers have to recertify every 5 years. So there are credits that count towards recertification for them, but they're typically also really helpful in many states. So we'd love people to jump on our website and check out some of our courses, and all of our contact information is there. And anything that we can do to help others cultivate more calm is really what our mission and story is all about.
Well, thank you so much for your time today.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me on, Monica.
It was wonderful chatting with Meredith McNierney today on the podcast. This is an important topic. It's one that comes up in conversations that I have all the time. And I hope you were able to gather some strategies and tips to put in your everyday practice or in the work that you do with students and families. So let's make this EdTech easy with a few key points from today's conversation. Identify when you are self-soothing or finding moments of awe. Model for students and share strategies with families. Embrace apps and music that promote calm or help with micro self-care. Remember, you can find the show notes and full list of resources from this episode, including all of the ways to connect with Meredith and info on her new ASCD book. It came out just this month of April by heading to classtechtips.com/podcast. That's where you'll find all of the links and resources we talked about today. A big thank you to our friends at Activate for sponsoring today's episode. They're using a blend of old school and new school to turn spaces between spaces into healthier places. Visit unboxactivate.com, that's UNBOX, active 8, ACTIV, the number 8.com, and use promo code ACTIVATEMONICA for $50 off your first box and 3 free months of Play app access. This March, we'll celebrate 5 years of the Easy EdTech podcast. To help celebrate, I'm hoping you can do us a favor. Leave a rating or review for the podcast wherever you're listening today. Spotify will let you tap on the stars, and Apple Podcasts will let you tap on the stars too, and leave a 1 or 2 sentence review. A big thank you in advance for helping us get ready to celebrate this March.